Please be seated.
Good morning and welcome to worship this morning on another sunny day. Just a few intimations before we begin worship. The Rainforest Cafe is on after worship today and on Wednesday, and then it closes for 2 weeks for a break, reopening on Sunday the 2nd of August. We have a session meeting on Wednesday night in Kirstairs Community Centre at 7 p.m. for all session members. And anybody that wants, it's a public meeting, so anybody can actually go if they were interested. And our important intimation is there's a retiring offering this week for in aid of the Venezuela Disaster Fund. If anybody would like to contribute, the box is at the back for you. And we've received a postcard. The summer postcards are starting to come in. So just, it was to members of Carnwath, Kirstairs and Fourth Church of Scotland, from members and friends of Brayhead Lunch and Leisure Club, who had a lovely day out on the 9th of July when they visited the Trossachs Pier to board the steamship Sir Walter Scott to sail in Loch Katrine with a meal to follow. After the sail was over, company was good, weather good and everything else good. Now heading home, enjoying the scenery. So they had a lovely day out. I'll leave it at the back for everybody to have a wee look. Thank you.
Good morning. Can you hear me okay? Yeah, thank God. I think last week we were all here in our raincoat and our winter jackets. But today is pleasant and we have no excuse not to come to church. So thank you so much for being here. God bless you all. The theme I would like to share with you today, which some of us may not like, but it is about, are we teachable? Are we teachable that when Holy Spirit try to teach us about the Word, about God, do we accept it as it is, or we try to resist? We try not to accept it because of our context, because of our background, because the world tells us different. That's the theme I would like to carry today. And in my first thought and in my reflection, I'm going to share that today. Whatever I'm going to preach today, I'm going to preach in love and with all respect. But I would request you to understand it with the Word of God, with the willingness to learn from the Holy Spirit. Without further ado, may I please request you all to take a moment of silence and prepare yourself to worship your God. To you, O Lord, we lift up our souls. Teach us your ways and guide us in your truth. You are the God who saves us. Your mercy and your steadfast love have been our help from of old. Lord, please make our hearts open. Please make our minds humble and our lives ready to receive your word. So with trust and with hope and with a grateful heart to you, we gather as a family of believers to worship God. Worship him in truth and in spirit. Amen. Dear all, may I please request all of you to stand if you're able and sing our first hymn, 490, Jesus, Lover of My Soul. 490. you. Please be seated. Let us pray. Lord our God, you are the one who calls life out of nothing and hope out of the very places. Lord, your presence study us. Lord, your wisdom guide us, and your compassion gather us in. Lord, we adore you for the way you speak truth with gentleness in our life, for the way you hold us when we fall, and for the quiet strength, Lord, you give to all who seek you. Lord, because you are holy, you are gracious, we come honestly before you, Father. We confess that we often move through our days with closed hearts. We are sometimes slow to listen, and we are very quick to rely on ourselves and easily drawn towards things that crowd out your voice. Father God, would you please forgive us for the moments when we have resisting your shaping hand as a hand of a potter trying to make something beautiful from this stubborn clay. Would you please forgive us, Lord, for the habits that keep our faith shallow and for the worries we allow to take root? Would you please clean us? Would you please restore us, renew us, and open us again for your holy work, for the work of your Spirit and the seed of your word? And Lord, as you lift us from our failing, we give thanks for the mercy that never runs out, that never runs dry. Lord, we also like to thank you for Christ, who frees us from all the condemnation and restores our courage to grow in you and with you. Thank you for the Holy Spirit, who breathes new life into tired souls and teaches to walk in as per your will and in your ways. Lord, we thank you for every quiet blessing, the peace that settles us, the strength that carries us, and the hope you plant deep within. So with hearts made open by grace, we offer ourselves to you in gratitude and in trust. Lord, please teach us. We are ready to learn. We are ready to follow. And we are ready to be shaped by your love. In Jesus' almighty name, now we pray. And Lord, we also join our hearts in the prayer you taught your disciples to pray together as family of believers and say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Amen. May I request Miriam to come forward and do the reading? Our first reading is from the Epistle of Romans, chapter 8, verses 1 through 11. That tells you that there is no condemnation in Christ Jesus. And then Gospel of St. Matthew, chapter 13, which talks about a very well-known passage in the Bible about the seed and the sower.
Reading Romans 8. Reading from verse 1 to 11. Spirit, life in the Spirit. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set you free from the law of sin and of death. For God has done what the law, weakened by the flesh, could not do, by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and to deal with sin. He condemned sin in the flesh so that the just requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on the things of the Spirit. To set the mind on the flesh is death, but to set the mind on the Spirit is life and peace. For this reason, the mind that is set on the flesh is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law. Indeed, it cannot. And those who are in the flesh cannot please God. But you are not in the flesh, you are in the Spirit, since the Spirit of God dwells in you. Anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to him. But if Christ is in you, then the body is dead because of the sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. If the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will give life to your mortal bodies, also through his Spirit that dwells in you. Second reading from Matthew 13, reading 1 to 9. The parable of the sower. That same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat beside the sea. Such great crowds gathered around him that he got into a boat and sat there, while the whole crowd stood on the beach. And he told them many things in parables, saying, "Listen, a sower went out to sow, and as he sowed, some seeds fell on the path, and the birds came and ate them up. Other seeds fell on rocky ground, where they did not have much soil, and they sprang up quickly, since they had no depth of soil. But when the sun rose, they were scorched, and since they had no root, they were withered away. Other seeds fell among the thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked them. Other seeds fell on good soil and brought forth grain, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. If you have ears, hear. Hear then the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what is sown in the heart. This is what was sown on the path. As for what was sown on the rocky ground, this is one who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet such a person has no root, but endures only for a while. And when trouble or persecution arises on account of the word, that person immediately falls away. As for what was sown among thorns, this is the one who hears the word, but the cares of this age and the lure of wealth choke that the word, and it yields nothing. But as for what was sown on good soil, this is the one who hears the word and understands it, who indeed bears fruit and yields in one case 100-fold, in another 60, and then in another 30. May God bless the reading of his holy word.
Thank you, Miriam. Can you please all clap for Miriam? She's read very well. Thank you. A.W. Tozer said once about Christians, he said, "The Christian is a very unusual person. He loves someone he has never seen. He speaks daily with someone he cannot see. He expects heaven because of another's merit. He empties himself so he may be filled. He admits he is wrong so he may be made right. He goes down in order to rise up. He gives in order to keep. He dies in order to live. He sees and notes what others insist is impossible. The Christian is indeed a very unusual person." A Christian is indeed a very unusual person. See, what I'm trying to tell you today is sometime we become so stubborn, we become the rocky ground, we are so solid in our human and in our worldly understanding that we are not open to learn anything. Now you'll say, Harrison, I've done masters, I am PhD. I've been a teacher, I've been a scholar, I've been master in the trade I have learned. And I worked and all my life, now I'm retired. And you're trying to tell me that I'm not teachable? No, I'm not talking about your trade. You might be a good engineer or a doctor or theologian or a philosopher. I'm not talking about that. I am talking about, are you a believer? Are you a Christian? And I'm not talking about 20, 30 people sitting here. I'm talking about the churches are full with the empty minds because they walk with the flesh and not by the Spirit. We are here, so many of the people, they are there to warm the pews, but unfortunately, their hearts are cold. Because as soon as they face the difficulties of life and the challenges of the world, they react and act as per the flesh than the Spirit. Because we are not teachable. We are sitting in our pews for 30, 40, 50 years and maybe longer than that. But unfortunately, all the sermons being preached or the word you have read, all the hymns you have sung, has actually not have any roots in you because we are not teachable. Well, I'm not saying that. Paul is talking about in 1 Corinthians, in Hebrews, and here in Romans as well. He said, you will be carnate, you will be mortal if you believe that you can live by the flesh. That's what the Bible says. If we read that. Now, verse 7, for this reason, the mind that is set on the flesh is hostile to God. So if you would like to act the way world act, and you just learn from the world and never from the word, and your teachers could be the best teacher in the world, but if you're not a good student, what's the point? When I ask people, why there is a decline in the church, I believe sometime, well, there could be hundreds of reasons, but I believe the word has not been preached in so many churches. But at the same time, if the word has been preached, we are not good students. We are not learning. We have learned traits, so many things in our life. You have learned to drive, you learn to walk, you learn so many things in your life, but unfortunately, we are still resisting learning from the word of God because we are not humble enough to learn. For this reason, the mind that is set on the flesh is hostile to God, is that not submit to God's law? Indeed, it cannot. And those who are in flesh cannot please God. I'm not saying that. Paul is saying it. Because we are hostile towards God because we are not teachable. I teach in Bible study. I teach from the pulpit. I teach through my life. I teach in so many different ways. How are we accepting it? A lot of people get offended when I preach the word of God. And Paul said, unfortunately, you are still infant because I cannot give you solid food. But A.W. Tozer said, Christians are different. They are teachable, they are open, they are vulnerable, and they are happy to accept that they are wrong so they can be corrected. Are we? How many of you use smartphones? Yeah? Okay, I may be speaking to a wrong generation. Is it? No. You all know what smartphone is, right? Every here and there, every 15 days or 20 days or a month, you receive an update. Either from Apple, if you're using Apple, or from a Samsung, you get update. And what do? You click on it, and you have to update your system, your phone. If you don't update, it will not give you same function. It might function, but at one point, if you have 3, 4, 5, 6, 10, 50 updates available and you do not update your phones, You are resisting the update which is sent by the creator of that mobile phone or of that software. You cannot operate. Now God is trying to upload these things in us by the Spirit, but we are resisting. At one point, if you are called a mobile and if you don't update yourself, you will be a piece of metal and nothing else. Because you won't be able to receive calls or make calls. Or you won't be able to do the same functions you are normally using because you're not updating yourself. And that's what I believe you are. Yes, you are a good Christian to start with when you were an infant, but you're not growing in Christ Jesus. I'm scared to talk about some deep stuff with you because you will resist. Is that right? Bible teaches us you need to be open. You need to receive in order to give. And if you're not doing that, there is something wrong going on in our lives. See, why A.W. Tozer said that we are open, we are teachable, because we are Christian. And Christian needs to be teachable. But what God asks us is very simple. How can you be teachable? Let me give you a technique. Okay? How many of you have prayed for forgiveness, for blessing to God? Raise your hands. Yes? We all are sinners. We need to pray for forgiveness, right? Now remember, Jesus is here and you're praying, God, I need all the blessings and I'm sorry for what I've done. Please forgive me. Do you believe God forgive you? Yes, he does every time. Is that right? Because he's a merciful father. He does that. So you are asking for forgiveness and he forgives you, but the problem is he's there. And then what you do, you receive the forgiveness and then you're walking forward. You're walking in the worldly ways. You know what God wants? He don't want you to just ask for forgiveness. He asks you to repent. That's what Jesus preaches just after he came out of the wilderness. He said, repent because of the kingdom of God is near. Repentance is important than forgiveness. And when you receive repentance, the word repentance means to turn back. You receive forgiveness, you turn to God, and you walk in his ways, in his will, which will bring you closer to God. Do you believe Jesus Christ was the best teacher? If I ask you. Do you think Jesus Christ was the best teacher? Along with all other attributes, he was a savior and compassionate God and care and everything. He was the best teacher, right? There were 12 of them. If I ask you to name them, you may not be. I can't, actually. There were 12 of them, 12 apostles, 12 disciples, right? They have the best teacher, the best pastor, the best scholar, the best theologian, the Son of God with him. But what happened? Judas still failed him. So don't blame that you don't have a good teacher, because the Holy Spirit is a good teacher. Don't blame that you have not have enough literature. You do. You have Bible. And that is enough. You don't require new revelations. That's the reason I always say you're saved by, can you remember? By what? Grace alone, faith alone, Christ alone, by Scripture alone. You don't require new revelation. A lot of churches and ministers will come and say, I have a new revelation for you. Say, no, sir, we don't require new revelation because Bible is enough for my salvation. If God wanted to put new revelation, he would have. You don't need new revelation. You don't need even prophets now because your Bible is your prophet. That's it. Enough. There are no apostles. There are no prophets now because you don't need them. Bible is there enough. Judas has everything best. A best book, a best rabbi, a best minister, best pastor, best comforter, best healer. He still failed him. So don't blame that you don't have that. You do. We all do. The problem is we are stubborn. We get offended. We are not open. We are not humble to accept each other as a person carrying the image of Christ. Is that right? And again, I'm not talking about you as church here. I'm talking about a lot of Christians who wear this mask and try to portray that they are Christian. They have no Christianity, no Christ in them, unfortunately. But remember one thing. You could be that person. I am that person. How many of you use sat-nav? We do? All of us. I cannot go anywhere without sadhana, trust me. But I'm so foolish to follow sometimes the sadhana that I'm going on a motorway, say I'm going to England or whatever, and I mix my exit. Right? All of you must have done that. What the sadhana does? Say, Harrison, you are so stupid. I told you 15 minutes ago that there is a left turn. Take left turn. Why didn't you do that? Did he say that to you? Did the girl say that to you in the sadhana? No. It simply does what? Tell me. Recalculating. Yes, you might reach to your destination maybe 5, 10, 15, an hour late. But it's recalculate. And I'll tell you, this is the right way, son. Keep going. That's what Christ done for us, for you and for me. No matter how stubborn we are, if we become open, if we are happy to accept him, if we are letting him plant the seed of his word in our life, he is recalculating, he is recalibrating, he is renewing, he is refreshing us each and every time and said, don't worry, son, I'm never going to give up on you. He never gave up on Judas either. Judas gave up on himself and hung himself because he never gave up on Peter. They made the same mistake, actually. They both betrayed Jesus. Right? But Jesus never gave up on them. You know, Jesus, when he was resurrected from where he was, and Peter decided that I'm going to go fishing again. Do you know that? Jesus walked 80 miles. He walked 80 miles to come back to Peter. Because he told Peter in the beginning, I'll make you fisher of men. Do not go back and do fishing of fish again. He walked 80 miles, rerouting for Peter. And then he said, Peter, do you love me? Peter, do you love me? Peter, do you love me? Three times. Why three times? He denied Jesus three times. He denied Jesus three times, and Jesus asked him, do you love me? Three times to restore him. That's what Christ is doing for me and for you. But your promise needs to be, Lord, I am teachable. I'll connect more and share more with you in my reflection. Let's all stand if you're able and sing our next hymn. Speak, O Lord. That's in a GWA, a new book, and Audrey will play it first and then we'll sing it. Speak, O Lord. Please be seated. Now, last week, I believe I said that when you read your Bible, you don't read your Bible to understand, you read your Bible to? Can somebody tell me? Don't remember? Well, somebody came to me and asked me, Harrison, how should I read my Bible because I don't understand it? And I say, you don't read Bible to understand it, you read Bible to accept it. Accept it by faith. Now, some of us have problem with Bible, don't we? We only take so much and leave so much because that doesn't fit with my opinion, with my understanding, and with the context I am living in. And unfortunately, this is not the way you read your Bible. You don't read your Bible to understand it. You read your Bible to accept it because unfortunately or fortunately, we are not God. It's a word of God, and word of God does not fit to word of God does not fit to our context. Our context needs to fit to word of God. Unfortunately, you will not accept what I'm saying, but that's the reality. That you don't read your Bible to understand it, you read your Bible to accept it. Somebody asked me, Harrison, how can that be? It's too difficult. And let me tell you something very important. Again, somebody came to me and said, Harrison, I don't understand God, and I don't want to accept him either, because as per my evidence, I believe there is no God. I said, my dear friends, you are trying to weigh a chicken by a measuring tape. Can you do that? You know what measuring tape is? What do you call it? We call it inchi tape in India. What do you call measuring tape? Measuring tape? Yeah. This thing is 5 centimeter. This thing is 10 centimeter. So I told him, I said, you are trying to weigh a chicken by a measuring tape. Can you do that? If you walk in spirit, you know there is God. If you walk in flesh, you're trying to measure your chicken. You're trying to weight your chicken by a measuring tape. You cannot do that. Simple as that. If you walk in the spirit, if you dwell in the spirit, you will know there is God and you accept the Bible as it is, rather than you think, I don't think so, that's right, and I'm not going to follow it because it doesn't fit my context. Our education is tiny, no matter how many PhDs you are. Word of God is the final say. And that's what I would like to share with you. Are we teachable? When we look honestly at our lives, my dear friends, at the people we care about most, and at the hopes we carry quite inside us, one question rises above all the others. And I think we all should ask this question very often to us. Are we teachable? It is not a question about how much Bible knowledge we have gathered. And I'm not expecting you to become a master in Bible. No, I'm not. How long have you been part of the church? No, it doesn't really matter that either. You could be a one day born again Christian, or you could be a 98 years old born Christian. I'm not asking that question. And it is not about the, can you explain the doctrines of Christianity as well? If I ask you the doctrine of sovereignty of God and maybe predestination, I don't want you to give me an essay on that. Maybe no. But basically what I want you to do is know the foundation of the Bible. Know the basics. Know the attributes of Christ Jesus. Because when somebody asks you, at least you are able to tell them why you are Christian. Simple as that. It is a question about the posture of your heart, my dear friend. It's not about your knowledge, your experience, or how much you can share, how much you can explain or describe the word or the doctrines. Jesus makes it very clear in Matthew 13, which Miriam has just read, that the difference between a life that grows and a life that stays stuck is not about intelligence, about experience, or about your background either, but the condition of your soil. The condition of your soil. Good soil is not perfect soil. Far from it. It is simply an open soil. an open soil which is able to receive. It is soil that allows the seed to sink in, take root, and then grow. That is what is expected from the soil, because the plants cannot grow in the ear. It has to be planted and rooted in the soil. And so Jesus tells a story that shaped Christian imagination for centuries, my dear friends. The parable of the sower, and you must have read it and you must have learned from it so many times, but I'm trying to share something more different with you. It's not to teach about farming, it's not, but to teach us about ourselves. Jesus was not a farmer. Jesus was a carpenter, and I'm not a farmer either. Actually, I'm worse. I don't have a green finger. The plants I buy very expensive from the shop, from the garden center. I bring it home within a week, it dies. I'm that bad in farming, literally. I'm not trying to tell you how to do farming, because you might be much, much better than me in farming. But this parable is not about farming, my dear friends. This is about Jesus. As Jesus sits by the lake and began to teach, a best teacher, as I said, he describes a sower scattering seed across different kinds of ground. He does that. Good. The seed is always good. You know why? Because the seed is word of God. It is not corrupted. There is no mixed seed. There is no plastic seed in there. It's a good seed, because seed is the word of God, and it's perfect. From Genesis till Revelation, it doesn't require your opinion, your changes in the Bible either, because it's the best. And the sower is always faithful. You know why? Because he is Christ Jesus himself, a son of God who left his throne to come down for you and for me so he can plant good seeds. He's a good sower, extravagant sower. He's throwing seed. He's planting them everywhere. The question is never about the quality of the seed or the skill of the sower, my dear friend. The question is always about the readiness of the soil. There are churches everywhere. People are still sitting at their home, walking their dog or watching their telly. Is that right? So there is no problem in teaching or the sower or the teachers. The problem is in their soil, unfortunately. Some hearts are like the path. They're solid, they're hard, they're compact, they're resistant, unfortunately. Truth lands on them, but nothing sinks in, unfortunately. We hear sermon, but they just bounce off us. We hear scripture, but we remain unchanged. We remain stubborn. Other hearts are like rocky grounds. Second one. Eager to get first? Yes. Full of enthusiasm? Well done. Ready to make promises? But shallow. And that's the reason Bible tells us that if you are a shallow believer, if you're an infant in Christ and you're a new believer, you shouldn't be ministers. Because you will shake with the simple wind. Rocky ground, shallow ground. When the life becomes difficult, when faith requires endurance, the roots cannot hold. Still others are like thorny soil, third ground. Open enough to receive the word, but crowded with competing priorities, anxieties, distractions. Oh, I have to do this over church time. Oh, I cannot read Bible because I'm too tired. Oh, I cannot do this because I need to be somewhere. I'm not able to attend Bible study. I am too busy. I cannot come to church because I need to be in my holiday park. We give excuses to God. We are too crowded. We have so much anxieties going on in our life that unfortunately our priorities change from God to world, from spirit to flesh. We try to satisfy us than our spirit. And then there is a good soil. A good soil like I believe you and me. Not impressive, not flawless, but has one quality. Open. That's it. It receives the seed, protects it, nourishes it, and allows it to grow with the help of Christ, with the help of the Holy Spirit. Isn't that good? That's what Christ wants us to do. Well, Scripture Paul speaks honestly about our tendency to resist growth. We all do. And it's not only us, my dear friends. Jesus' disciples were doing that as well. In Matthew 13, when you read 1 through 9, Jesus is describing the parables, and then we are starting from 18, because in those verses, in between verses, disciples were saying, "What did you just said? We have no clue what you said." And Jesus said, "Unfortunately, you are still describing and living and trusting in your flesh and not in the spirit. If you do, you would understand." And then he explained the parable to them again. Because he's like a sat-nav. He's keep recalculating and trying to bring them back. Well, Paul says in 1 Corinthians 3:2, go and read at your home when you go home. He said, "I give you milk, not solid food." You know why? For you are not yet ready for it. When I prepare my sermons, my dear friends, I have dictionaries open. I have my commentaries open. I have Word of God, and I have doing so much. And sometimes I go deep into it and I say, "Can I share this word with them? Will they understand it? Are they mature enough? Are they ready for the solid food?" Unfortunately not. And that's not my complaint. That's the complaint of Paul. Paul is telling the Corinthians, how long you want to just be nurtured on the milk? You cannot eat solid food. Unfortunately, I have to grow you. I have to make you grown up. In Hebrews 5, 12 to 13, he said, "Though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you the elementary truth of God's word all over again." He's complaining. He's complaining. He's not actually admiring them. He's not giving them compliment that good you are infant babies, that you're still living on milk. No, he's not. He's complaining to them in Hebrews. In First Corinthians, he said, "Come on, grow up." I have a child. He was in nursery. Then he went to first P1, P2, P3. And now he's going to a senior school, right? This is how you grow. But you grow in the stature of the world, stature of your flesh, stature of humans, but not Christ. And Paul is complaining about it. These are sobering words, yes. They remind us that it is possible to be around the truth without growing into truth. That's possible. Word of God is sitting on your shelves, but it's no use if it's sitting on a shelf. You need to use it. It is possible to hear sermon every week and remain still unchanged. It is possible to know Scripture, but never let Scripture know you. And again, don't get offended. I'm not talking about you. I'm talking about the Christians who are shallow right now. The Bible does not ask whether we have heard the word. It asks whether the word has taken root in us. It asks whether the soil of our hearts has opened enough to let Christ to do his transforming word. Not your will, but not my will, but your will be done. Do we pray that? Every time. Paul, help us understand what makes a heart teachable. Listen to this very carefully. Romans 8, 1 to 11. He says, there are two ways to live, according to the flesh or according to the spirit. Simple as that. You cannot dwell in both. There is no gray area. Either you are Christian or you belong to devil. There is no gray area. People think, I will go to heaven because I do good work, but I don't follow Christ. Sorry, you're going to hell. Because there is no gray area. Either you dwell in flesh or you dwell in spirit. But there's Christ. A heart governed by the flesh is close, defensive, and self-reliant. It is a heart that insists on its own way, trusts in its own wisdom, and resists correction, my dear friends. A heart governed by the Spirit is open, receptive, and teachable. That's the quality of a good heart, that you become teachable. Praise the Lord. It is a heart that says, Lord, speak, I am listening. Lord, correct me, I am willing. Lord, shape me, I am open. Isn't it a beautiful prayer? Paul writes, the mind governed by the flesh is death, but the mind governed by the spirit is life and peace. And who don't want life and peace? I think you all of us. But then you have to walk in spirit. A teachable heart, a spirit-governed heart, a heart that has surrendered its pride, loosened its grip on control, and allowed God to speak freely. freely in their life, at their work, at their school, in their family, in their personal behavior, and they're open for correction. Proverbs says, do not try to correct the fool. Try to correct the wise. There are so many of people I face that I said, there is no point of speaking to this person the word of God because he or she are never going to listen and understand because they are not teachable. The Bible says that, not me. And Paul gave us one of the most freeing sentences in all scripture. A beautiful word. He said, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank God that there is no condemnation. This matters deeply for teachability because condemnation closes the hearts, my dear friends. But grace opens it. It is by grace you are saved, as I always say, and now there is no condemnation. And when there is no condemnation, you are free in Christ Jesus. You cannot be teachable if you are terrified of being wrong, isn't it? Ashamed of your past or convinced that God is disappointed in you. He's not. He's not. You cannot open your heart to God if you believe He is waiting to judge you. No, He's not. But if there is no condemnation, then there is no fear. And if there is no fear, your heart can openly and finally be open to the Word of God. And that's what God wants you and me. He is happy to reset your path. He is happy to recalculate. He is happy to bother Himself for you and for me so we become teachable. Jesus plants truth that grows into life. Teachability begins where condemnation ends, my dear friends, at the foot of the cross, where Christ removes our guilt and restores our confidence to learn again. That's what Christ wants from you and me. Teachability is not about intelligence. Don't think you need to be intelligent. No. Even if you are trying to weigh your chicken while the measuring tape, God still shows grace to you. It is about surrender. It's not about how impressive you are, how intelligent you are. Some of the most teachable people I have met are not scholars and theologians. They are thick as mints. That's what Scottish word, isn't it? I am thick as mints. We are all thick and mints when you are a believer. And that's what Tozer said as I read this for you. They are not people with shelves full of documentaries and commentaries and doctrinal books. They are people who come before God with the open hands and open heart and say, Lord, I don't know anything. Please teach me. That's who they are. Teachability is not about being clever, my dear friend. It is actually about being humble. Are we humble? Do we see the image of Christ in other person? Even when they offend you, even when they are your enemy, even when they are there to kill you, even when they are there to persecute you, do you see Christ in them? Are you teachable? It is not about being strong. It is about willing. It is not about being perfect. It is about being open. Simple. And when a heart becomes open, my dear friends, God begins to grow things in that we never possible. We thought never possible. Patience, compassion, wisdom, courage, and deeper love of Christ. That's what Christ has offered for you and me. Once your heart is teachable, something beautiful happens. You become someone who can teach others. And that's the reason Paul is asking, you should be teacher by now, because he expects you to be teacher. I expect you to be teacher. Yes, I'm not expecting all of you to be ministers, but you should be teachable and then teaching others. Hebrews says, by this time, you ought to be teachers, not meaning teachers with pulpit or titles, but people whose life quietly instruct others in the way of Christ. You become the living Bible for them. You become the image of Christ for them. People learn from you. People are shaped by your patience, by your kindness, by your integrity, and by your prayers. Every conversation becomes a seed. Every act of compassion becomes a seed. Every moment of forgiveness becomes a seed. So you can plant in someone else's life. God uses teachable people to teach the world. You do not need to be perfect soil. You simply need to be an open soil. Simple. And God will grow something in you that others can feed on. Do you want to be that person? So here is a challenge I want to share with you and leave with you. Ask this question to yourself. What kind of soil are you? And be honest. At least be honest to yourself. Don't mask it. What kind of soil I am? Not the soil you wish you were, nor the soil you pretend to be, nor the soil other things you are, but the soil you truly are before God. Are you hard? Are you shallow? Are you crowded? Or are you open? And here is the hope, my dear friend. You can become good soil today, right now. Not because what I preach, but because Christ is trying to speak to you today. The Spirit can soften what is hard. Grace can deepen what is shallow. And Jesus can clear what is crowded in your life. And then the Father can plant something new in you because you are open. So ask this question and make this as a prayer in your heart. Lord, make me teachable, please. Make me teachable, make me open, make me a good soil, and use my life to teach others your truth, not my opinion, not my will, but your will be done. Can you promise me that? Do that, and God will teach you and make you teachable. God bless you all. Can we all stand once again, sing our next hymn, 489, Come Down, O Love Divine. After this, I will ask Laura Jane to come forward and share the prayer.
Thank you. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, Creator of all, we come before you in prayer for the world around us. We pray for our brothers and sisters whose lives are affected by the imbalance of nature. Not enough food, too much water, or even too little water. We pray for our brothers and sisters in Christ, whose lives are marked by uncertainty, whether that uncertainty be through war and conflict, or through the uncertainty caused by food poverty. We pray for our brothers and sisters affected by the earthquakes in Venezuela, and for the work of the Disasters Emergency Committee and other charities helping to ease some of the distress. We also pray for the men and women who spend their lives at sea this Sea Sunday. May you guide them and keep them safe in these difficult times, whether they are policing the waters to ensure the safety, transporting food and fuel to keep countries going, or transporting the people needed to bring peace to conflicted lands. We pray for your church locally, nationally, and internationally. May it continue to blossom and grow, and may it continue to nurture all those around it. God of love and compassion, may you dwell in the hearts of the sick and the grieving. May they be comforted by your love. God of healing, may you dwell in the hearts of those who are sick, whether in mind, body, or spirit. May they come to know the healing power of knowing and loving you. May the knowing and loving you continue to make us your disciples, telling all who have ears of your wonder and good news, that through loving you and through loving your Son Jesus, we will be granted eternal life in your kingdom. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Laura.
Can we again stand and sing our closing hymn? One more step along the world I go, CH4530. 530, one more step along the world I go.
Thank you.
please remain standing while we pray for our offering. Generous God, all we have come from your hand, and we return these gifts with grateful hearts. Use them to strengthen your church, to bless those in need, and to sow your hope in our communities. Shape us as we give, and make our lives faithful for your kingdom. May these gifts reflect our trust in you, and may they become a sign of your love at work among us. In Jesus' almighty name we pray. Amen. Let's receive the blessing of God. May the God who plants good seed in open hearts fill you with his peace as you go. May Christ, who frees you from all the condemnations, steady your step and strengthen your hope. May the Holy Spirit make your life good soil, soft to his healing, his leading, ready for his truth and faithful in every place he sends you. So go now in the love of the Father, grace of the Son, and the companionship of the Holy Spirit, to serve and to shine in his name, now and forevermore.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Please be seated. Once again, everybody, thank you very much for joining the church. Thank you that you have taken your time to be here to be teachable. Again, that's important for us to understand what God wants us to do, what is his will for us, and what does his word teaches us. I hope you don't make your soil hard, thorny, crowded or shallow, but you'll make your soil open, because he is rerouting, recalculating, and making a path for you as per his will. You need to be willing to walk on his ways, because he's the best teacher and he's never wrong. So make sure you have the best teacher, best person, best savior in your life, because it's readily available for you. In every corner, every nook and cranny in your life, he is ready to save you and change you as per his will. God bless you all. Thank you once again for listening. Thank you.